You're listening to Brendan Sinclair's Business Mix from TaylorPodcast.com. Marketing, media, and web information sure to hit the mark. Grab a drink, settle down, and get the news from an expert who's been there, done that, and wears a t-shirt. Here's your host, Brendan Sinclair.
Hello and welcome to podcast number 12. My name is Brendan, as they already said in the intro. I don't know why I say that, Tina. Do you have any ideas?
No, I don't. Maybe you just want to affirm your name. And
yeah, I do. And I like the sound of my own voice. That's probably the other thing. Yes. Joining me today, as usual, is Tina Goodman. And we'll be talking about three different things, as usual, on the podcast. Number one, we'll be talking about pricing, what to do or what to charge for your product or service, how to figure it out. And we'll tell you a few stories about how to demonstrate your value to your clients. Second thing we'll look at is networking. One thing I hate is when you go to a networking function that calls itself a networking function. There's lots of different networking opportunities out there, and we'll take you through a few simple steps on what to do and how to get the most out of networking opportunities. And the third thing we'll look at is PageRank on websites. PageRank is, of course, a Google kind of assessment of your website, a score out of 10. Surprisingly enough, Tina, you'd think I'd be a 10 out of 10, wouldn't you? But our website, Taylor.com, is a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, but Google itself is in Australia is only 8 out of 10.
Is it? Really.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So they don't even give their own page a 10 out of 10.
I was pretty happy with 6. We'll talk about what PageRank is and the fact that they're changing around at the moment, and talk about how PageRank can benefit your website. So let's get right on into it. Let's talk about pricing, what to charge. Now, Tina, before you come to work at Taylor, you had your own little web design business. How did you charge?
See, it was really tricky because people who aren't familiar to a design business or anything, they want you to charge per hour. But you really sort of got to say, you know, I'll deliver you this much content for this much money, and sort of judge how much value you're delivering to them based on, you know, how much.
Yeah, people want you to charge by the hour, but charging by the hour is for losers. So if you're listening to this and you charge by the hour with something like a service firm, then I'm not saying you're a loser, but it's not quite the right thing to do, because the best way to price is obviously the way that makes you as profitable as possible. Probably the big thing with charging by the hour is it limits you so much. And when you gain a lot of experience and expertise, you can provide far greater value to the customer, even though your costs haven't gone up. So the client would be much happier if you provided a top quality service that provided them top value for their money. Whereas if something that might take somebody 20 hours to do, quite often, and this happens a fair bit in this business, something that might take someone 20 hours to do, we can do it in 2 hours because we've got the experience, because we've got the expertise. So we would do ourselves out of 18 hours work because we're so much more knowledgeable and so much more expert than the other person.
I always try to focus on delivering value and what I am actually delivering to the client rather than how much it's going to cost them.
And that's why you've got to quantify everything that you do. You don't say the client will do A, B, and C. You say that the client will do A, B, and C, and the results of that will be X amount in sales. And you try and quantify it as much as possible about what that benefit will be. And then you're more likely to get the sale when you charge by the value. So charging by the hour isn't a great thing to do.
When someone asks you how much will it cost to make a website, Brendan, what do you usually say to them?
Obviously, I say that's a very tricky one. Depends what you want. Depends how serious you are about it. A good example is I say to people, if you're serious about something like your search engine optimization, then it's going to cost you, you know, $10,000 to do your initial search engine optimization, because it's an enormous amount of work. And again, that's a really hard one. When people say to us, how much is it? Then I basically say, how much money do you have? Because what's your budget? And that's another question I hate, is when people say, how much is it going to cost me? And I go, well, I got no idea. How much money do you have? What's your budget? Because if you've got $1 million to spend, then obviously you'll get $1 million in value. If you've only got $100 to spend, you'll only get $100 in value. And one of the things, I'm on my high horse, one of my things is, when someone says, well, just give us a quote, so you put together a quote, let's say for a $10,000 website, there have been indications, you give them the proposal, and then they almost have a heart attack because they've only got $150 to spend, and you've spent a day and a half doing this fantastic proposal for a $10,000 website, which doesn't make a lot of sense. Am I making sense here, Tina?
Yes, in bits and pieces, you
are. Or am I just getting too angry? So, charge by the value you provide, because then you can be much more profitable. Because there's only 24 hours in a day, if you charge $50 an hour, you'll only ever make $1,200 a day if you work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whereas if you charge by value, you can say to someone, I'll do that for X amount of dollars, regardless of how long it takes you, then you can be much more profitable, obviously. And that's certainly a technique to use when you're probably a little bit more experienced. Hey, but then again, that's a good point. Then again, I made a good point to myself. Then again, if you start off and you're really slow, it may be useful to charge by the hour.
No, I don't think so, because in order to be competitive, you want to provide something the same price as everyone else is charging.
Yeah, so I don't like that.
No?
I reckon you should charge more. Because then you've got to demonstrate. Because then you've got to demonstrate why.
But when you're just starting off, you may not be able to demonstrate the added value.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Okay, we'll call it a draw on that one. Okay, now the networking segment. My pet hate, Tina, is this. You go to a networking function called the Business Bureau Networking Function. You sit down for dinner or the drinks or whatever at the table, and an accountant will come along. And they're always accountants for some reason.
Are
if
they?
You're an accountant listening to this, look, I've got nothing against you, but your colleagues here in Queensland, Australia are quite dopey. They'll stand at the side of the table and they'll just toss their cards out like they're playing poker to the 10 people at the table. Say, hi, my name's Bill Jones and I'm an accountant. And like, that's not what networking is about. That's like, that's wasting money by giving people your card who are never going to contact you again. It's craziness. Have you been to networking functions?
I've been to a couple. They do seem sort of artificial, really.
Yeah, well, and that's the difficulty with things called networking functions. People are there to meet other people and try and get as much, suck as many contacts as they can out of it. Whereas everything that you do as a business person is a networking function. You never, ever stop doing business. I'm about to go on a plane trip and the person I meet sitting next to me will be an opportunity to network. And I always go to business lunches, I go to golf days, I go to lots of things, business breakfasts, all the rest. And all they are is opportunity to hear someone speak disguised as a networking opportunity. So if it's not called a networking opportunity, then it's much more likely to be a networking opportunity and a much more relaxed networking opportunity. The thing about networking is you're there to build the relationship. You're not there to suck as much information out or make your offer to the other person or suggest you want to do business. You've got to develop the relationship. So anyone you meet at any sort of networking function, the key component is you have to keep in touch. Everyone you meet at a networking function, whether it be dinner, whether it be at the pub, whether it be at races, and they're all networking functions, what you do to follow up is you send them a note. Dear Bob, lovely to meet you. Great to have a beer with you. Great to sit on the plane with you. Great to do whatever. Thanks for this, that, and the other. Take care. All the best. And then you keep in touch.
I was reading something the other day that said you should make contacts before you need them, not when you need them.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Then after as well.
Because the thing I see at networking functions is everyone seems so damn desperate. It's like, I don't know, I was about to say, it's like going on a date or, I don't know, just everyone's there trying to impress everyone and it's so false. It's so bad. Like, I'm so articulate. No wonder I've got my own podcast. It's the worst thing ever, because there's an expectation that that person is going to try and get my business and I'm going to try and foist myself onto them. So networking is about every situation a business person is in is a networking opportunity. You put your best foot forward, you demonstrate your decency and goodness and honesty and style and sophistication and all of those things, and then you keep in touch, because the great networkers are great communicators. So if you happen to find out the person's birthday, send them a note on their birthday. If you find out that they're interested in the local footy team, you give them a ring when the local footy team wins the premiership and congratulate them. All those little things.
And I guess help them out, you know, give something before you ask for something as well.
Oh, absolutely. Here's a great strategy. And I know sometimes it sounds really orchestrated when you do this, but when you're in business, it almost becomes second nature. If you want someone to do something for you down the track, you get a favour off them now so that you are indebted to them in some way, because then that builds that relationship and this person feels like they've given you something, which they have if you've asked them to do a favour for you, and then down the track you can leverage off that. I haven't articulated that very well either, have I?
Did you mean to say you do a favour for them?
Or? No, I mean get them to do a favour for you.
Yeah.
Because then it's much more authentic. It's, I don't know how to explain it. So if you were someone who I thought could be useful for business down the track, I would get you to do a favour for me. So I know you live at Toowoomba, so I'd say, hey, there's a great cake shop at Toowoomba that sells lemon meringue pies. I love lemon meringue pies. They're famous at that Toowoomba shop. Can you bring me one? And you would bring me one. And then I've got that opportunity to thank you later. I've got that opportunity to return the favour later, etc. So it builds that relationship.
But it's an interesting idea. Like, I'd never thought of it that way. Just do the complete opposite,
yeah. If you do the person a favour, I'm doing you a favour, then they're not really indebted to you because it's too false or something. Whereas if you can get them to do a favour for you, then it completely changes the dynamic of that relationship. Anyway, give it a try. And like you said, Tina, what not to do is don't push yourself. Don't try and sell them something. Don't try and extract something of value out of them straight away. Just develop the relationship and, you know, like I said before, all the great networkers are great communicators. So that finishes off the networking one, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And for the final segment, we'll talk about PageRank. PageRank is Google's assessment of your web page on a scale of 1 to 10. Now, did you notice the Tailored Consulting website, tailored.com.au, is a PageRank of 6.
Yes, I did. And I believe you mentioned that at the beginning of the show.
Yes, I did. I'm just repeating it for people who don't pay attention at the start of the show. Yes, we had a PageRank of 5, but at the moment, Google is reassessing all the PageRanks. Some are going up, some are going down. Now, PageRanks, what are they? Okay, here we go. What do PageRanks mean to you? What do you think they do?
They're just a way of deciding what pages are likely to be more relevant to searches. Like if a page is more popular, which is indicated by it's got lots of links to it, then it's more likely to have good content and more likely to be more relevant to what people are looking for.
Yeah. A couple of things I'll say about that. That's pretty right. But webmasters disagree. Some people say it's irrelevant. Some people say, yeah, it's really relevant. And you're kind of in the middle ground there. I'll say a couple of things about PageRank. I would much prefer to have a link from a site with a high PageRank than a site with a low PageRank. It's my experience that tells me that Google in particular will more highly rank a site with links from sites with a high PageRank. Now, the second thing I want to say about PageRank is that clients just want to have a PageRank. They want to have the highest PageRank as possible. They almost forgo any other benefit from their website as long as they have a PageRank. And I've had clients who, despite decent search engine rankings, are worried because they don't have a high PageRank, which is, as a web developer, it's frustrating to have to deal with that because there's so much disinformation out there on the web that a PageRank is good, but it's not the be-all and the end-all. And we don't do our search engine optimization work, for instance, to get a high PageRank. We get it to get high search engine rankings, which isn't always equated with a high PageRank. So high PageRank is great to have, great to get a link from a site with a high PageRank, but remember that it's not the be-all and the end-all. So if you're a person who has a website that doesn't have a high PageRank, don't think that that doesn't mean you won't get high search engine rankings, because you will, okay? And if you're a person with a highly PageRanked site, then like me, because 6 out of 10 is a damn good PageRank when compared to a lot of other sites, then you can basically brag and say, hey, we've got a 6 out of 10, how smart are we? And you can make much more of it than should really be attributed to the PageRank.
So you don't really think it's that important?
only important in the fact that if I get a link from a site with a high page rank, I think that's more valuable than a link from a site with a low page rank. So that'll help my site go higher in the search engine rankings because of that link. That's where I believe the value is. So that brings us to the end of the show. As usual, Skype us any feedback at Tailored, or contact details are on tailoredpodcast.com. Until next week, bye for now.
See you later, everyone.
You're listening to Brendan Sinclair's Business Mix from TaylorPodcast.com. Marketing, media, and web information sure to hit the mark.